From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to think Christianly, always being prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, and to do this with gentleness and respect. Yet countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, messengers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. That's why your special gift during these final hours of 2014 can help provide multitudes of Bible Answer Man listeners with genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute in these last hours of 2014, call 888-7000-CRI until midnight tonight, Eastern Time. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online at equip.org. Well, now here's the Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We'll go to our calls in just a few moments, but I want to reiterate something I said on yesterday's broadcast. We are standing on the eve of a brand new year. And what we want to do as we enter this new year is we want to become biblically literate. And what that means is continuously reading through the Word of God. And to that end, I have developed a legacy reading program. The legacy reading program or plan is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books. The goal is to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each book as a whole. You can find the legacy reading plan on the web. Simply type in on our homepage, legacy reading plan, and you'll find it. And you'll find an explanation of how to use it. The overarching objective of this plan is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. The reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons and the seasons into months. So at the beginning of the year, you know that during the winter, you'll focus on the Pentateuch and poetry, approximately 250 chapters. In the spring, the historical books, another 250 chapters. In the summer, the prophets, 250 chapters. And in the fall, the New Testament. And each season, of course, is further broken down into months. Therefore, every January, your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus, and every December, the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. There are times where you'll naturally read a lot of chapters and then a few chapters, but more importantly, you will read the Bible just as you read other literature. The legacy reading plan, again, you can find on the web, equip.org, free of charge. And I think that it's important for you to begin reading through the Bible if you're not doing so, because as has been pointed out by the atheist, the skeptic, the secularist, America is being besieged by biblical illiteracy. Those exact words are used by Kurt Eichenwalt. It's in an article called The Bible, So Misunderstood It's a Sin. It's the cover story in Newsweek. And Kurt Eichenwalt says that a Pew Research poll in 2010 found that evangelicals ranked only a smidgen higher than atheists in familiarity with the New Testament and with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't read the Bible that they pretend to defend. Now, Eichenwald goes on in the article to point out that belief in the Bible leads parents to banish children from their homes. It sets neighbor against neighbor. It engenders hate and condemnation. The Bible impedes science and undermines intellectual advancement. And he says the topic has become too important for Americans to ignore. The only reason that they're accepting the Bible is because they don't understand how the Bible came about, who put it together. And what he points out is that no television preacher has ever read the Bible. No evangelical politician has ever read the Bible. The Pope has not even read the Bible. And then he admits, I haven't even read the Bible. And then he says, you haven't even read the Bible. At best, all that all of us have read is a bad translation, a translation of a translation of a translation of hand-copied copies of copies of copies of copies, and on and on, hundreds of times. That's how he starts this article before he absolutely blasts the Bible. This, by the way, is a fundamentalist from the left. I would characterize him as a spiritual terrorist. He's seeking to decapitate truth, to foist his own unique brand of fundamentalism on the masses through sophistry, sensationalism, and sleight of mind. What he doesn't tell you is that the beauty from a biblical perspective is that the wealth of biblical manuscripts empowers textual critics to credibly sort out copyist errors so that the autograph, the original, the autographa, emerges, which is precisely what credible scholars mean when they speak of the tenacity of the text. Bottom line, you and I can be certain that no essential of the biblical message has been compromised, and non-essential copyist errors are resolved through manuscript comparison, through consideration of context, and plain old common sense. So like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. And by the way, this Eichenwald in his article in Newsweek, well, his go-to guy is Bart Ehrman. And Bart Ehrman himself negates some of the arguments that are made by Eichenwald in this Newsweek article. He, in fact, has admitted, albeit not in bold letters, but he has at least admitted in answers to questions that essential Christian beliefs are not affected by textual variance in the manuscript tradition of the New Testament. He kind of speaks out of both sides of his mouth. He says that if you look at the manuscript copies, there are more mistakes in the copies than there are words in the New Testament. But what he doesn't tell you in that context is that they really don't amount to much, and they can all be sorted out so that the autograph can emerge. Again, the sophistry and sleight of hand is breathtaking, but unless you know it, imagine you're a student sitting in a class getting the talk, being force-fed balderdash, and you can't make it out, and your grades are dependent on following the teacher. Your faith can easily be stripped from you. And this is why you need to learn discernment skills. It's why we make resources available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find them at equip.org. I did a flip chart on this very subject. It's memorable. It's easy to comprehend and then use to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I've also written a book that deals with every one of the objections laid out by Eichenwald in his article in Newsweek. So we must expect that skeptics and infidels are going to seek to be spiritual terrorists, but we need to be equipped with truth so that we can, with gentleness and with respect, counter the strident sophistry that is now awash in the world. You can find the resources to counter, the nonsense at equip.org on the World Wide Web. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First of all, we'll talk to Sabrina, St. Peter's, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Hank. It's such an honor to speak with you. I've listened to your program all the time, and I actually decided to call in tonight and ask you a question, so it's just great speaking with you. My question is, a friend of mine, I was talking to the other day, and she says that she believes that righteousness is a characteristic that you can only possess after death and in heaven, because as you're on earth, you're a sinner, and that's something that you just can't possess, righteousness. Whereas I'm thinking that, you know, when you accept Jesus as your Savior and that he died for your sins and, that he lives in you, that you're capable of possessing righteousness or being righteous, a righteous person, even though you're here on earth and technically, you know, with living with that sin in your life.
Yeah. Well,
or, you know, that you're a sinner.
I like what Martin Luther said in this regard, where snow-covered dung. It's kind of the idea that on the one hand, we have a sinful nature, but on the other hand, we're covered as believers with the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it is a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. And what happens when Christ justifies us is that he also starts a process of sanctification, daily conforming us to his image. And therefore, when we're baptized, we partake of a means of grace by which we can live an exchanged life. We can live the crucified life. We can live the life of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but what happens is that as participants in the body of Christ, we have the means of grace whereby we can partake, as Peter put it, of the divine nature. So we can be conformed to the image of Christ because Christ is now engrafted within us. We can therefore be participants in the kingdom that truly know how to live a sanctified life. And one day we will be not just positionally righteous. Our position in Christ now is righteousness, but we'll be practically righteous. And that happens when Jesus appears a second time. Then we will be glorified and no longer be subject to the travesties of sin.
Okay. I've been reading through the Bible, actually, because I've been a Christian for a while, but recently, I have to say, I found Bot Radio about 3 months ago. That's the station I listen to, and I found your program. I love listening to you. It's so awesome. I mean, just awesome. I have to use that word, you know, to have, you know, the truth. And I just believe, you know, whenever I listen to your, you know, you talk and everything, the passion behind your voice, just, it's the, you know, it's the truth. The passion is the truth, you know, that I hear when you speak. And it's just been so nurturing to me spiritually that it's just given me this drive that I've not had as a Christian in the past to just learn and learn and learn. So I have to say I've been driven as a Christian in the last 3 months more than I have in my whole life. So, you know, wanting to find out these things, you know, I know I read in the Bible about, you know, how the righteous, you know, righteousness of Jesus, you know, so that's kind of how I can, you know, tell that to her, is be like, well, Jesus is righteous, and so since he lives in us, that's kind of how I can explain that to her.
Yeah, I mean, it's the beauty that just as Christ took on a human nature so we can be partakers in the divine nature, and that is not because we ourselves are without sin. I mean, even the great apostle Paul declared that the good that he wanted to do, he couldn't do, and the evil that he didn't want to do, he did. So he admitted the fact that he, even though he's an exemplar to all of us, he was a sinner. But through the grace of Jesus Christ, we can live the crucified life. As Watchman Nee has so eloquently pointed out in some of his books like The Normal Christian Life, the blood of Jesus Christ deals with the problem of sin, but the cross actually gives us the ability to live the life of Christ, because through the cross we are crucified with Christ, and now we no longer live, but Christ lives within us. We can partake of the divine nature by partaking of the means of grace whereby we can be participants of the kingdom that not only have an explanation, but an experience with the living Christ.
Yes, and that's what I've learned, and that's just made it so real to me. Mm. Is the whole Christ is in you, and that passion is I've felt it, and it's a feeling more than, you know, when I hear that passion in you, it's like it's beyond words. It's almost like an emotion, you know, that sensation, or just the idea of the grandeur of God Himself and Jesus, and that idea
wow.
of Him living in you. So,
well, thanks, Sabrina. So your words are a great encouragement to me. You know, I was out with my family last night, and we're at a pizza place, and a young man came up to me, and he was talking about how the ministry had blessed his life. Been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast for a long time, but he was a supporter of the ministry as well. And I was absolutely humbled by his comments and by the fact that here you have a young guy supporting this ministry, making it possible. Be right back.
Have you ever considered that just as a daily dose of the right vitamins can help to ward off illness, so can a daily dosage of truth be the best antidote for error? Or that just like the Ebola virus, error is deadly only when it is ingested? Sadly, far too many seekers and even believers have swallowed the distortions of cults and aberrant teachers only to discover how spiritually deadly these deceptions can be. And just like a wide range of potentially deadly viruses, these deceptions can spread if precautions are not taken. Why not promote the health of our nation as well as the church by providing a daily dose of truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast and a host of other outreaches? Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean, To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Christians agree that life and truth are important, but have you considered how the absence of truth can actually ruin lives? How distortions of truth can lead people to make tragic decisions affecting not only their lives, but also the lives of others? As we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way and the truth and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Do you remember 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time for us is the last possible time that you can make a gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute that is tax-deductible in the year 2014. We're actually going to have staff here till that time, so you can actually call 888-7000 and the letter CRI and talk personally to a resource consultant to make your tax-deductible gift, or you can send a check. You can have it dated in the calendar year before the end of the year. You can send it to Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also, of course, make your tax-deductible gift in a safe, secure fashion on the web. Again, that address, equip.org. And do remember that the Christian Research Institute of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and our outreaches are literally impacting people throughout the world. I'm having so many opportunities as the Lord has been opening doors to deal with not only people in the Communist Party in China, with missionaries that are boots on the ground all over the world, equipping them in the areas of apologetics, biblical literacy, countering the cults. But as many of you know, we have initiated catalyzing and resourcing the largest apologetics, biblical literacy, countering the cults initiative in modern history. And we're intentional about it. We're systematical about it. But as in any enterprise, the Lord has ordained that means are necessary. Those means, in this sense, are resources. And you can stand shoulder to shoulder with this ministry and in providing the resources necessary for us to continue making a difference, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI, and they'll be standing by until midnight Eastern Standard Time. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to David, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I am blind and have cerebral palsy, but I love the Lord and I wouldn't miss your program for anything. But I would like to know, how do I witness to non-believers?
Yeah, David, you know, what I said so many times is that the real issue for us is not to run around frantically grabbing people by the lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? But simply becoming an equipped believer. And therefore, God will now bring people and circumstances into your life so that you can communicate the love and grace and truth of the one who can cause us to really see the truth about life. And so we have to be equipped to communicate what we believe, why we believe, what we believe, and in whom we believe. And we have many resources that are audio resources available to do just that. But that's the whole issue. It's just to be an equipped Christian, ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect.
Okay, well, thank you, Hank.
Bless you, David. Thank you so much for calling and for listening. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Kurt. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my privilege.
I guess, and I want to thank you for your ministry. You have done just a world of good for a lot of people. That last caller, when you said that, you know, about being equipped to answer questions, my stepson asked me a question that just stumped me several years ago, and I still haven't got an answer for it. He asked, basically, he's faced with knowing that he has to make a decision whether to be to accept Christ as his Savior or face eternal damnation. But his question was, is why would he be put in that position to begin with? What's fair about him being put in that position where he had to make that decision?
Well, you know, the fact is he is alive. There's no question about the fact that he is in the world of the living and that he can ask intelligent questions as he's just asked an intelligent question. And so now he has the light of creation pointing him to God. He has the light of conscience pointing him to God. And when he responds to light, he can receive the light of Christ, or he can choose to reject the light that he has been given. Now, when he rejects the light that he has been given, if he chooses to do that, then he gets what he wants. C.S. Lewis made that so clear when he eloquently pointed out there are two kinds of people in the world, those who say to Christ, "Thy will be done, I want a relationship with you," and those who say to Christ, "I don't want a relationship with you." And then Christ says to them, "Thy will be done," which is to say, Christ does not force himself on anyone. Heaven is for those who want a relationship with the Lord. The alternate experience is for those who do not want a relationship with the Lord, and they have, therefore, a foretaste of what will come for all eternity, exactly what they want. So God does not force anyone into his heaven. If he did, heaven wouldn't be heaven. Heaven would be hell. The righteous would inherit a counterfeit heaven, and the unrighteous would be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which would be a torment worse than hell. So he can choose, and that's the beauty. His life is not fatalistically determined. If he were a philosophical naturalist, his life would be determined on the basis of brain chemistry and genetics. He would not have a freedom of the will, but he has the ability to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit or to reject it. And as Pascal so ably put it, God lives in enough light, so if we want to find him, we will, but he dwells in enough obscurity, so if we don't want to find him, we won't.
All right, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, and what's so beautiful is what the Apostle Paul said. He said that God designed the world in such a way that we are in the most ideal of circumstances to find him. From one man, said Paul, God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. How can he say that again? Because we all have the light of creation. We all have the light of conscience. And if we respond to light, we will be given more light. Jesus pointed out that the real problem is not that there's not enough light, but that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If we want the light of Christ, it is available to all. God uses human agency as the normative means through which that light is dispersed throughout the world, but God can give that light supernaturally as well. So God is not limited to the normative means. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Chris, Los Angeles, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I wanted to reference an earlier broadcast where you talked about when Jesus said, "All those who call me Lord aren't the real deal."
Yep.
Or at the end times when he says, you know, people will say, "I did this in your name, I did this for you," but he will say to them, I never knew you."
Yeah.
And so my question is this: how is it possible for someone to invest themselves in Christ, but do it insincerely or not realize that they're not what they think they are?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose people can be self-deluded. in many, many different ways. But the thing that Jesus is pointing out is, he is pointing out the words that you just quoted. He's pointing those words out in the Sermon on the Mount within a context. The context for the words, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" The context of this is false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And just as we recognize them by their fruit, they recognize themselves by their fruit. Because you cannot serve two masters. Oh, well, yes, I do. You cannot serve two masters. I mean, Jesus made that plain. You will either love the one and despise the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and money. For many, and I think in the context of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus probably has most specifically Judas in mind. But Judas is following Jesus Christ, not because he loves Jesus Christ, but because Jesus Christ is a means to his ends. In other words, he doesn't love the master, he loves what is on the master's table. So Judas knows that Christ is his meal ticket, but he doesn't love the master, and that's the distinction. We know whether we love Christ and we want to be participants in the kingdom. We know that because when we fail him, and we all do, then we fall on our face and we ask for forgiveness. We say, "Lord, I have sinned against you. Forgive me." And you see this in David, who commits the most heinous of crimes, a murder, then adultery, then failing to depend upon the arm of the Lord. But in his prayer of contrition, he says, "Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Restore to me the Holy Spirit," he asks. So we know whether we are participants in the kingdom of darkness or participants in the kingdom of light. We have an inner knowing that we are either responding to the light of creation, the light of conscience I talked about earlier, which brings us the light of Christ, or whether we are simply going through this world grabbing for all the gusto there is.
Well, that is an answer, and it makes sense. So I appreciate that. Thank you again for the work that you do, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well, and appreciate those kind comments. I mean, the work that I do, I could not do, and certainly don't do alone. I mean, if you look around the Christian Research Institute, you'll see some of those dedicated people in the world, quite frankly, people that I admire, that I have the privilege to work with, many of whom have been with me for over two decades. Together, we're seeking to make a difference while there is yet time, but we're not doing it alone. We only do what we do because there are people outside these walls that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. As Paul said to Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers." We thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and for truth. And please remember, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web until midnight tonight, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants until midnight, Eastern Standard Time, 888-7000 CRI.
A recent Facebook post strongly encouraged Hank to keep telling the truth. Why? Because the writer knew all too well the devastating consequences of bad theology. You see, John spent years in a well-known cult and family that discouraged his pursuit of education. Their church taught that Christ was going to return soon, so what was the use of pursuing an education you would never have a chance to use? What's more, John never married because he believed that taking a wife and having children would not be wise in the end times. Now much older and wiser, he looks back with deep regret on a life that could have been dramatically different had he only been taught the truth. To help others avoid the very real disasters that often accompany bad theology, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back right after this.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Did you know that 23 of 25 major evangelical denominations are in decline? Or did you know that we're losing millions of evangelicals from the church in the United States? About 2.6 million per decade. And that what's left of a smaller, shrinking church is splintering over politics and a postmodern view of God and the Bible. Sadly, far too many Christians are simply oblivious in their bubbles, or too glued to their smartphones to notice the rising tide of spiritual and cultural decadence that threatens the church. Thankfully, others are receiving their wake-up calls and deciding to make a difference before it's too late. If you want to make a difference, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a year-end gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Have you considered what could be one of the best gifts you'll ever make? If not, consider this. Countless thousands of spiritually hungry, earnest seekers after truth are led astray each day by prosperity preachers, mongers of millennial madness, and New Age gurus, to name only a few. Yet your special gift today can help provide genuinely biblical truths that set people free. To make a mind-changing and life-changing gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Amazing to think that we're at the end of 2014. A few hours from now, we'll be ushering in a brand new year, a year of incredible opportunity. I do believe deep within my being that 2015 is going to be the greatest year in the 55-year history of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and I thank all of you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth as we carry on a great initiative, an initiative to resource and catalyze the largest apologetics initiative in history around the world. God is our supply We thank you for being a participant in this incredible enterprise, an enterprise that is Spirit-led. When the Spirit leads, anything is possible. Think of what the Apostle Paul did. He's in Asia, fruitful ministry, and then he gets a vision. And then the text tells us the next day, in response to the vision, he leaves his fruitful ministry in Asia, and he travels to Philippi, and there he meets Lydia. And Lydia is converted. And this is the beginning of Western Christianity, a force for the gospel for 2,000 years. Well, Christianity is waning in the West, and we need a renaissance. But there is an incredible work that now goes on in the global South with millions and millions of people coming to faith in Christ, but many of them like tumbleweed, no root. And so they need to be discipled, because if they're not, the cults swoop in. So there's a great labor, a mission field that is whitened to harvest, and God has given us an entree into that mission field, touching the lives of literally millions of people. You can be a part of that. We thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Thank you for your giving, all that you've done this year. For those that have not yet given, you can make a gift up until 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll have staff here. You can call them. You can talk to them directly. 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Ask them about our global initiative. You can give again by talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI, up until midnight, or you can make a gift on the web in a safe, secure fashion, equip.org, or you can write me. I date the check the last day of the year, of course, which we're talking about right now as I am speaking, and send it to Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Rick. He's in Maryland listening on the web. Hi.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was actually on Twitter today, and I follow the CRI. I buy a bunch of books from the Institute, and I have several of your books as well. And they made a reference post to the Complete Bible Answer book. And the subject was, or the question rather, was, is baptism necessary for salvation? And so I clicked on the link, and I read through the brief article that you had there. And I wanted to ask you about some of the points that you made about why baptism is not necessary for salvation. One of the main points that you made was that the Bible as a whole clearly communicates that we are saved by faith and not by works. And you cite Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And I wanted to ask you, what is it about baptism that you would declare that as a work?
Well, look, I think that what we do through baptism is we are doing something physically. We are being buried to our old life. There's a way in which the water symbolizes that burial in Romans chapter 6. We're buried to our old life and then raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And there's no such thing as conversion without baptism, because baptism becomes the initial means of grace. It is as though you're taking a cloth and you're submerging that cloth in dye. The cloth takes on the properties of the dye. And this is a way in which you have entered into a very direct means of grace, where grace is imparted to your soul, and then you enter into a body. That is the body of Christ. Christ is building a body. When you enter into the body of Christ, within the context of that body, you partake of means of grace, the Eucharist being a principal way of partaking of the means of grace. So baptism is inextricably woven together with a demonstration that you recognize that you are a sinner, you've repented of your sin, and you've received Jesus Christ, and now you become part of a body. And so you're not a lone ranger Christian. You are entering into a body as a living stone in the temple of God. It's inextricably woven together. So for me, the question is academic, but it's not substantial. I don't think you're saved by what you do. You're saved by what Jesus Christ did. But baptism is a natural response to that salvation, recognizing that you're never saved in isolation. You're saved in community.
Yeah, I'm really, I'm actually really surprised because I reject baptismal regeneration or that there's power in the water. But I also reject when people label, I guess you would say, a person of myself and my belief that, you know, we communicate that baptism is the means of salvation. I like to say that baptism is the place of salvation. So to hear you say that baptism is a means or almost as if a channel which grace is applied, I think that for me that sounds very familiar to what I think and believe. But I wanted to ask you, you know, is it something that you propose that baptism is a work in which man does to attain salvation, which I believe is wrong and incorrect, but I also think it's incorrect to say that baptism somehow isn't connected with salvation, which it doesn't seem like that's what you're saying.
Oh, it's inextricably woven together with salvation because, again, it becomes the principal means by which grace is imparted to the life of the believer, where in essence we can experience the energies of God.
So for someone to say that baptism is a work, I usually respond with Colossians chapter 2, that it's the work of God, you know, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, and that baptism isn't the work by which we attain or gain salvation, but it's the place that we accept salvation. And I wanted to know what you thought about that phrase, eology, that it's the place of salvation, not the means of salvation.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's critical. There's no such thing as a person who is a believer who does not get baptized, because in baptism, you are partaking in something that you couldn't partake of otherwise. So it's inextricably woven together. You become a partaker of the divine nature, as Peter put it. That does not mean, again, that you partake of the essence of God, that you can be worshipped of God, that you can be as God is in the Godhead, but it does mean that you can partake of the energies of God. And through baptism, it's very much like taking a sword and thrusting that white metal into hot burning coals. That sword takes on the property of the coals. It becomes red hot. So it's a means by which grace is transferred to the believer such that we can live the crucified life, the engrafted life, not simply a changed life, but an exchanged life. And that's really what's being demonstrated in baptism. We're buried to our old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power.
Now, another point, I appreciate that comment. Another point that you made was in Acts chapter 10, verse 47. And this is something that I've always kind of went back and forth with in my own mind. But in the book of Acts, it seems like, and I've heard that there's five baptisms in the Bible. And two of those that have been proposed is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and Christian baptism in water. One being directly from heaven, from God, being the Holy Spirit. The other being, you know, instituted by the disciples that they could carry out as they made converts. You know, in Matthew 28:18, go into all the world, making disciples and baptizing them. So I wanted to ask you what you thought about, for those who propose that you can have Holy Spirit baptism outside of water baptism, do you see a distinction there between Christian baptism with the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit baptism, which seems to involve speaking in tongues and kind of a recognition of, hey, I want these people to be saved, so I wanted that.
Yeah, I mean, I see a distinction between the indwelling of the Spirit and the infilling of the Spirit. So when you become a believer and you are baptized as a believer within the body of Jesus Christ, then you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Your temple becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there's such a thing as infilling, and that infilling in some traditions means that you receive a second blessing, but I don't think that's what the Bible is describing. It's describing not only that you receive a second blessing, but a third and a fourth, and eventually a millionth, a 2 millionth, because we're leaky vessels. Every single time I come into the studio, I pray, Lord, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So I pray to be infilled or empowered for service. And I think that's the distinction, that power, again, does not come through human prowess, but rather through the Holy Spirit who enables us to do something that's beyond our ken. I'm going to have to leave it at that, unfortunately, because we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Men broadcast. Appreciate your questions. Do want to say to everybody listening in that, again, we are at the last day of the year. At midnight, we will usher in a brand new year, and it is so critical that in this new year, you not only get into the Word of God, but you get the Word of God into you. That means meditating upon the Bible. It means memorizing the Bible. It means mining the Bible for all its wealth. My prayer for you in the coming year is that the Bible will become your bulwark, that you will not look to other sources first, but that you will look to the Bible first for your sustenance. It is my prayer that Christ will richly dwell within you so that you can say, as we're just talking about with Peter, I am a partaker of the divine nature. Again, doesn't mean you can be worshipped of God, doesn't mean that you are God as God is in the Godhead, but it does mean that you can partake of the energies of God. That means being a faithful, reproducing member of a healthy, well-balanced church, because it is within the church that you can partake of the means of grace. So again, it is my prayer that you will participate in the greatest enterprise known to man, a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, a co-laborer with Jesus Christ, as we stand together in the battle for life and truth. Well, Happy New Year to all, and do remember, up until midnight Eastern Standard Time, you can make your tax-deductible gift. You can either write a check, send it to Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Our prayer is that 2015 will be the most significant year in the history of the Christian Research Institute. You can make that possible as we stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Happy New Year.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A humorous definition of a conservative is someone who sits and thinks, but mainly sits. With that definition in mind, could the greatest threat to today's church be that many of us mainly sit and don't think? If history is any lesson, the failure to both think and act during times of crisis can be downright dangerous. And for Christians today, increasingly battered by the gale force winds of militant secularism, the need is to think Christianly and act courageously. Faced with these challenges, will you be a conformer or a transformer? Will you be the object of worldly change or an agent of change for the King of Kings? To go on record as an agent of change, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a special year-end gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Thank you.
God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.